Blog Talk Radio.
Host Merle Exit. Oh, look at that. Yeah, the time, I guess, like the sun has pretty much gone down here. It's only on my time, it's only 5 o'clock. Wow. And, got cold. Yep, well, here for cold weather. But I'm inside Queens, New York City, and so I'm cozy and comfortable right behind my computer. And today we're going to talk about Minnesota, Stillwater, and St. Paul, Minnesota. Yep. We're going to go first to Stillwater and talk with Randall, who owns the Stillwater Art Guild Gallery. And he's going to also tell us all about Stillwater as well as art and about one of the artists, Kit Shoup. He's an artist himself, though. And then we'll go over to St. Paul, at the St. Paul Hotel. Originally, I was going to talk with the general manager, David Miller, but he's unavailable. And Brian Schmeckel will be on to talk with us. After that, we're going to the first synagogue in Minnesota, even before it came a state, Mount Zion Hebrew Congregation, where Larry Solomon will talk with us. He's the executive director. But so first, let's go. And I think I have, let's put this, come on. Yes. Randall, are you there?
Yes, I am here, Merle.
Hey, how you doing?
Real good.
What's the weather where you are? Just curious.
It's a little cool. The sun's just going down here. Not real dark yet, but it's getting there. It's probably in the 30s, so it's not too bad.
Yeah, that's what we got. We got there was like 38 degrees this morning. I went, well, I guess that 60 degrees that we were getting is going bye-bye.
Yeah, we were a little spoiled there on that, weren't we?
Yeah. So before we talk about the Stillwater Art Guild Gallery. Tell us about Stillwater. I understand you've been living there for some years.
Yeah, I lived here all my life. I just turned 60 the other day on November 28th. So I remember the town when I was a little kid strolling through town when it was a regular retail town, during Christmas with my dad holding some Christmas gifts and stuff, and hopefully I can bring some of that back in my work, too. I do paint a little bit of history of Stillwater. But anyway, yeah, it's a very nice town. It was the birthplace of Minnesota when it was horse and buggy and dirt roads before Stillwater became a state. At the Minnesota House is where they decided they're going to have the capital of Minnesota, the university, and the prison, and we opt for the prison. Geologically, it would work the best, so.
Oh, and you still have the prison?
Yeah, we do. Actually, there's three. The old territorial one, which actually part of the James gang was held in from Northfield. Jesse James himself wasn't in there, but the James gang was. And then there's the one in Bayport was the second one that was built. And then the third newest one is up in Old Park Heights. And so we're kind of noted as the town to having the prison, even though the prison isn't right here in town anymore. But the town is known for its logging and that, so it's a real big logging town.
Yeah, that's funny. What's that all about? Yeah.
The millions of board feet used to come out of the pineries up here in the upper part, even right around here earlier in the years. And then as the years went by, you know, they were cutting up further and further north. Well, they'd have to get the logs down here, so they'd use the river to run the logs down. And right up just north of Stillwater here in Stillwater, it was called the boom. And that's where they got all the logs together from the upper pineries, and they would stamp the logs for the different lumberman owners. And then from there, they would take and put them in rafts and then have a tugboat pull them down to the various sawmills that used to be around Stillwater and Marine and, on the Wisconsin side, too. Because Stillwater is a border town with Wisconsin. The St. Croix River runs right between us and Wisconsin. So.
Oh, that's the St. Croix River that runs there,
not
the Mississippi.
Yeah, the St. Croix River, which then runs out into the Mississippi, probably about maybe 10 miles south of here, right where Hastings and which is in Minnesota, which they're the border town on Mississippi. And then just right where both rivers come together on the Wisconsin side is another town there, which the both rivers meet there. It's called Prescott. So
I guess there's no more lumber, but you have, you celebrate lumberjacking each year or something?
Sure do, yeah. One of the big festivities here is Lumberjack Days, and we celebrate that here, and that's been going on since 1934. And, it's a big logging town. They'll have a logging show, all these different types of other. They have a little bit of an art show going on, and other vendors, and all the eats and stuff, and live music. They'll pull a big barge out and put up a big stage. They'll have national acts there and that. So it's a bunch of different things for the community to do. And then it actually started involving other communities, you know, that would come here. And we'd end up with 80,000 people here. So
wow.
Do
they have contests of people to see how fast they can chop down a tree or log or
They would have log running where they run the length of these logs that were put together on the water. One of the big ones is log rolling, which my cousins from Stillwater here, which is called Fish Built, they do logging shows all over the country here, and they're my cousins anyway, and I never got into the logging part, but they did. My grandpa used to be a world log rolling back in the day, and he used to sharpen saw blades for the lumber mills that are real close around Stillwater. And then he used to build boats too, skull boats and stuff. And then he would log roll too. And he 1913 he won the world log rolling championship. And so log rolling is a big thing here. And then plus the tree climbing, pole climbing. They're about 50 feet high, and they would race up, ring a bell, and be the first one to come down. Whoever hit the ground first would be the winner. And they'd even have dogs that would do trick and fancy type of stuff on logs. And actually my uncle, which my grandpa taught him how to log roll, him and Teske used to do log rolling tricks on the logs. And they, 50 years in a row, they won best of show and trick and fancy, it was called. And they'd have the dogs log roll, too, and then fake like the dogs kick them off the log and stuff. So it's a lot of fun.
God. Oh, yeah. I'm getting flashbacks of episodes of Little House on the Prairie.
that's about what it's like. Everybody dresses up, you know, in their, you know, suspenders and plaid shirts and this and that. And then a lot of the vendors here, too, would have to dress up kind of Victorian, or at least back in the day, you know. And then they have sidewalk sales, and it's really great. The whole town comes together and shows off that part of history. So,
well,
and Stillwater does have a lot of historical things, huh?
The thing now that I noticed when I was there is there's a lot of art.
Oh, there definitely is.
What's that all about? How did that all come
about? Well, the
art.
There used to be an art colony here that they used to go in some studios over in St. Paul. Then they would take the trolley back here to Stillwater, and there was a art colony here in Stillwater, and some artists. This is way back in the 1890s, and the art colony started. And through the whole years, there's been always various different artists and musicians, and the Stillwater area here. Or St. Croix Valley is very well known for its arts. and it's a real strong presence in the valley. And, you know, arts are everything to every community, you know, enriches the community. And so we're lucky enough to have enough artists here to fill. There's actually, we own the Stillwood Art Guild Gallery, which we're a large co-op, about 65 artists from the St. Croix Valley area. In other words, Minnesota and Wisconsin. And then there's a couple other galleries in town, too. There's Tamarack, which is one of the oldest galleries. Then there's Alicia, which they're one of the newest. And they have handmade furniture there, too. And then 310 is another gallery on the very south end of town that has some real high-grade type of artwork. So we're mainly local artists, but we have the largest variety in town. And we run like a club to keep our prices reasonable. And so art,
that's great.
Arts are a real big thing.
Yeah, and what is your your thing in terms of art? What's your concentration?
My concentration is I've been many different types of painting, mainly in acrylics, but I do all different types of painting. I do straight painting where you paint everything. A lot of it's realistic, and then I get into my wildlife art. When I became a wildlife artist in '83. I got into this photorealism where I airbrush the background and hand paint the foreground, and it gives kind of an illusion of depth of field like a photo just to create the space and realism in my work, and which then put the wildlife right up there in front of you, and it gives this illusion of realism. And that's one of my styles. And I've done some abstracts, some portraits. I did a portrait of Hubert Humphrey when I was 21 years old, and that was presented up here to him at the old Lowell Lynn, which is one of the oldest hotels in the state of Minnesota, and which was really a good feather in the hat being at that age, you know. And I've done a lot of murals around town, and I've been in the art business since '77 was my first art show, outdoor art show, and then in '81, I was in my first gallery. And then I was in a few galleries down here, downtown, too. But now, you know, my work's specifically right in the Stillwood Art Guild. So,
and I understand you've got some of Kit Shoup's.
Yeah, Kit has been with the gallery ever since the beginning. Actually, Wally, her husband, that does the bronzes and that of eagles, and then they do other figurines and stuff. Figures as far as for the corporate businesses. And Kit, she's been with us since the very beginning. In '99 is when we opened up the doors in our gallery, and Wally helped me. And then later on, I bought Wally out, and then I own the gallery specifically myself. But Kit's been with us ever since the beginning. She does, she's a watercolorist, and she does some really, really unique type of work. Some of her work that I like, and a lot of people through the whole years that have been buying her work, are her minis. And they're about maybe 3 inches. Some will be 2 by 2 inches, and they're little, like little farm scenes. And they're painted so intricately and small. I could never paint like that because I paint fairly large. But she's well known for those miniatures. And then her birds are excellent. They're kind of like the style of what you would see in some of the old books. And I can't remember the name, where the background would be all white and they'd be just silhouetted. And she does some really, really nice bird work, so, and her watercolors and that.
I heard that, like for instance, like if, let's say, she's in your gallery, then she doesn't put her stuff in, like, another gallery in town.
Yeah, she doesn't have her own gallery. She just had a holiday show, and I guess it went really good. She lives in Stillwater at 11458 120th Street North in Stillwater, and she lives on a farm. I guess it's her homestead, and for the 3 generations, I guess. And she loves horses, and she's got cats and a couple dogs, and actually her dog, she brings it down to the gallery. He's a real big dog, so. Kind of part German Shepherd, but it's a black one, so it's really different. But he comes down here, he sits behind the counter, and she helps with the customers, and then so she's got a lot of cats, I guess, out there on the farm, And Kit's originally from St. Louis, majored in art and taught for a while. And,
I had the opportunity to go to Wally's. Now, what do you call this thing?
Oh, the Foundry?
Yeah, the Foundry, yeah.
Yeah. He does his own bronzes. He uses the lost wax method. And, I've got the privilege of I did a piece for the city of Stillwater, and it was a big metal emblem of Stillwater's logo. And so I went to his foundry, and I did all the wax part of it, and then they went and did the bronze of the piece to hang up in the city boardroom. So
that's cool.
And and he has a showroom up there. With
what are the like? I guess I would say like Main Street is the place, right? And that in terms of where things are happening or things.
Yeah, Main Street, Stillwater is an old town. You're talking about Stillwater now?
Yeah.
Yeah, Stillwater is, his foundry's up in Osceola, which is up in Wisconsin. But anyway, just so we don't get people thrown off here. But anyway, Stillwater is an old town. It's got the various old buildings built way back in the old days. A lot of the old wooden buildings that were back when the Minnesota House was here, they're all gone, but there's some plaques on the other buildings now that tells that Minnesota house is at this area. And it's a very historic town. A lot of people come here to see the lift bridge. We're the only one of two lift bridges, the one in Duluth up on Superior, Lake Superior, and the one here are the only two lift bridges in the upper Midwest that are still working. And so that bridge, I say it resembles Stillwater as one of the major landmarks. Then we got the old historic courthouse, and the old train depot was torn down in 1960. That everybody misses that. So thank goodness they started preserving a lot of the old buildings. So they took the old false faces off of them, and they went back down to the original brick and then, put new windows in and that, but, kept it still historic. So, I love this hometown, and that's why I live here, because I can't think of a better place to live. So
you got near this place. Was it like that? It's haunted or something?
Excuse me, ma'am.
A haunted place, or was it? Wait, no, that was the one in the other way, someplace else. There's a place that's like you go underground kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, there's different places that are haunted around here, believe it or not. some people think the building that we're in right here is haunted. This is part of the old mill, the old Staples Mill, which used to be one of the old sawmills. This building is connected to that. And every once in a while, when a person's here by themselves, they'll hear different things going on. And then there's some homes that they say they're haunted and that. And, you never know,
What about
there are spirits lurking somewhere. So.
Restaurants. Tell me some of them.
Oh, very, very well-known restaurants here. The Lowell Lynn has, they've been serving, different meals for years and years. There are a lot of really nice bars, too, that have really good food. Actually, there's going to be a New York-style pizza place going in right next door to us, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's from New York, too. And let's see. Oh, there's
Have you ever been to the Green Room?
Yeah, well, I haven't been there yet, no. That's fairly new. And if any tourists come here to town when they do, I'll send them out to Phil's Terra Hideaway. It used to be one of Al Capone's little hideaways, and it's a little log cabin, and it would be one of his stops going over to Somerset was another area where he would, when he was in the Midwest, that he would stay in. But anyway, it's called Phil's Terra Hideaway. They got the best steaks and Greek food there. And that place is always packed. All the locals go there. That's one thing I like. If a lot of locals go to a certain restaurant in a certain town, that's usually the place to go. There's a Luna Rosa down here. That's an Italian place. There are many other fine restaurants, too, in the area here. So
You got a tea room too, huh?
Yeah, different tea rooms. Very well known for its antiques. We have probably got more antique stores than any town in the Midwest here, at least you know that I know of, because there is a lot of antique stores here. And you could kind of tell that because, you know, Stillwater is a historic town, and what a better place to have antique stores than here. So.
Oh, for sure. Now, when I was there, there was a guy from the Food Network, or one of the things having to do with food.
Mm-hmm.
Was he a chef or something?
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to think of the name of it now. I want to say Pampered Chef, but it's not that. Yeah, it's a place on the end of town down here, and they sell everything.
I think he owns a restaurant or something?
Well, it's a place where they sell all these different kitchen items, I mean, everything you possibly think of. And then they do have some where people can, they have some cooking, type of things going on there, too, where they'll teach you how to cook different type of meals and that, you know, Italian and different types of cuisine. So,
how about have you been in the olive store, olive oil store?
Yeah, I've been down there. My wife, she collects uses different stuff for cooking and that. And then I guess there's going to be a herb place going in too, across the street from her. Or maybe just a little bit kitty corner. The lady talked to me about doing some window signage for their windows down there. And so that'll be pretty interesting, too. It'd be all these different herbs from all over the world.
So, how far is Stillwater from, like, St. Paul, by the way?
It's about 28 miles from the center of St. Paul to here to Stillwater. You get from to South St. Paul, it's probably, which is on the south side of St. Paul, you're probably talking maybe about 17 miles, if not even that.
Mm.
Oh, actually, it's less than that. Yeah, it's probably, I would say, 7 miles. I'm sorry, yeah.
Do you
tend
to go into
St.
Paul?
Here. Huh?
Do you tend to go into St. Paul? You like it to... You know, like, I'm just going to hang out in Stillwater. I like the fact that it's a little town.
No, we're always going over to St. Paul, you know, different concerts, going to see different venues, you know, as far as the Science Museum, the Historical Museum over there, different concerts going on, going to the Twins games in the new stadium. I don't mind it. Minneapolis isn't too bad, but a lot of hoopla going on over there. It makes you a little nervous. But, being a small town, you know, it kind of makes you a little nervous over there. But, you know, where to go.
Yeah, it was interesting seeing the differences between Stillwater, St. Paul, and Minneapolis.
Yeah, there is a lot of difference, you know. Like I say, you know, Stillwater, you know, was connected to... connected to St. Paul with the trolley, way back in the early days. So there was always a connection there as far as that. But, yeah, there is a difference. You know, it's kind of a whole step up from each one. So, Minneapolis, it's getting pretty big. So, I mean, it's supposed to be one of the best small cities, you know. And
mm-hmm.
then with St. Paul, same thing with St. Paul, too.
Do you happen to know if there are any kind of events that are coming up there in Stillwater, or is it time for everybody to hibernate? How cold does it get there?
Huh?
How cold does it get there in Stillwater?
Oh, it'll get, I think the most it's gotten was like 60 below with wind chill.
Wow.
I remember me and my wife were in Mexico, and the kids call us. And she says, what are we going to do with the chickens? We had chickens. You know, I live on a hobby farm and horses and all that. And so we told them, you know, get the horses in. And they went and brought the chickens in the house downstairs and put them in the bathroom downstairs because they had to lock them up, you know, kind of. And No, I'll never forget that. Good thing I didn't have the basement fully finished. So, Now we got chickens again. My wife and daughter, they got an inkling to raise chickens again. So we raised them from little chicks, and now they're growing up, and eventually they're going to be, you know, having eggs and stuff, and that's the reason why they want to do it. And so they got, you know, fresh organic eggs. But anyway, yeah. So you know, I think that was probably one of the coldest years. But you know, and then we get 65 inches of snow. You know, we get a lot of snow lately here. Now the past years it hasn't been too bad. That one year we ended up 27 inches in October. That was the Halloween blizzard. Me and my buddy were coming back from.
Did you buy stock in L.L. Bean?
Yeah, I should have. we were coming all the way back from Montana, taking photos out there. And we were coming back, and we hit some rain, you know, and then it turned into freezing. And as we're coming down, we stopped at a station to get gas. And he says, "You guys aren't going down in the Twin Cities, are you?" He says, "Yeah, we live down there." "Well, take it easy. They're having one problem down there. There's a blizzard going on." So we got down here, and he had a four-wheel drive truck. But, I mean, there were semis in the ditch, and, oh, he was, you know, he was white-knuckled all the way to Stillwater, I'll tell you, because it was quite a mess. But that was one of the worst. And I remember as a kid, you know, there's always big snowstorms and stuff. But I think with the El Nino and all this other stuff here or whatever, you know, we're in kind of a drought kind of position too. We haven't really had a lot of snow. Last year we had quite a bit of snow, but there's been a couple of years where it's been pretty low. And then that brings the rivers and lakes down a little bit. But, and you can tell the difference, you know, if you don't get a lot of rain and that too.
In about a week or so, I'm going to have somebody from L.L. Bean on my show to talk about how, you know, a type of clothing to wear, you know, like, outdoors, if you're active outdoors, or if you're not active outdoors, you know, the types of material, the insulation.
Right.
I'm going to get into the whole thing about that. I know it's not as horrible in New York City, but it'll be, you know, great to find out, like, if, you know, somebody living, where you are, where there's an expectation of the cold. Yeah.
Yeah, I know in New York you guys get quite a bit of snow too. How cold does it get there usually?
I don't think it, depending on each year, but it's not going to get anything like, there may be, because of the wind chill factor, could be like around zero, you know. You know.
Our average is usually for the winter, when you get into the deep winter, is about 30 below.
Mm.
You know, and that's just the temperature.
Yeah,
and then
it's
from
funny.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, then from there, you know, if you get real deep temperature and then the wind chill, you know, that adds to it. That's where we end up with that much below. And I thought, holy smokes.
Yeah.
You know, but some of the chickens had their combs kind of frozen, you know, where they were black, but it was, everything was all right, you know, we didn't lose anything, but it's pretty scary, you know, especially when you get up in, you know, like South Dakota or North Dakota, it's all flat up there, and it drifts really bad up there, so you get stuck in a snowstorm up there, it could be really bad, even here, too, you know, it could be bad, so you got to make sure in your vehicle that you got everything, you know, blankets, little something to eat, you know what I mean, as far as some kind of pack of crackers or something, and water and all that, and extra blankets and maybe extra socks. And because you always got to be ready. You never know when you might break down alongside the road and have to walk somewhere if it's not blizzard, you know. And if it is a blizzard, you have to make sure you get some kind of a oranges tag you can put up on your antenna, so if you get a lot of snow, you know, they'll know where you're at. So.
Yeah. Let me ask you, in terms of the Art Guild, you got a website?
Yeah, we do. We have a website here. It's www.artguildgallery.com.
Okay.
Well, yeah, we're in the old
Google Stillwater Art Guild Gallery or artguildgallery.com. Is that it?
Yeah, stillwaterartguildgallery.com, yeah.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah, we have 65 local artists in here, and I founded the gallery in 1999,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted where a person could come directly and buy directly from the artist. So.
Great.
And,
thank you.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
okay.
I got my next guest I see calling in. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for sharing all of this with us. You know, when people go out to the area, you know, I just want to, you know, let people know that it's not just St. Paul and Minneapolis that they should visit, that Stillwater is a great little spot, too.
Yeah, it is. When you first drive into Stillwater, you'll see some big sternwheeler boats. You know, they take people out and have Dixie Band. And it's really fun town to live in. It really is. It's a tourist town now. And it couldn't be a better place for a gallery. And I love the town so much. So, and I want to thank you very much for having me on, too. Really appreciate
sure.
that. So.
All right. Oh, great.
Right, thank
okay,
you, Merle. Have a good day.
You, too.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye. Yes. Well, I know that my next caller is waiting, but I have to get, you know, the word. The sponsor has to get in. So... let's do that quickly. And what would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale. Oh yeah, and you can get these wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. And with the holidays coming up, listen, all right, get them for yourself, but if you want like one of the if you want to get a gift for somebody, you know, a food kind of gift, especially somebody who loves chocolate, this is the gift to get. This is, you know, it's the looks on the people's faces you're going to absolutely love, because this is, like, really the best. Okay, now before I get myself hungry, I guess what we're going to do is we're going to go right now to the St. Paul Hotel, where I have Brian Schmeckle on the phone. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Merle. Glad to be here today.
Yeah, I got the whole weather thing there, talking to Randall.
I heard, Randall, I have to say that my wife and I, we go to Stillwater a few times a year. We have a small boat that we like to launch in Stillwater there, but we have lunch and we go through the art galleries, and it's just a wonderful city. It's just such an enjoyable tradition for us to go down there and enjoy everybody.
Oh, good. Yeah, I liked it. But now we're going to talk a little about, before we get into... in terms of St. Paul, of like attractions or things to do. Tell us about the St. Paul Hotel.
Sure, be happy to. Well, the St. Paul Hotel, believe it or not, we've been around for over 100 years. We just celebrated our centennial anniversary last April 2010. The hotel was opened up in April of 1910, so we just had just a full year of celebration and dignitaries coming in and out, and just a great fun year with celebrating that 100 years of operation. And now we're 101 years old and still strong, and just, again, our doors are open to the public and meeting planners and events and romance and wedding parties and things like that. So, when you look at St. Paul and the St. Paul Hotel, this little hotel here, just 254 rooms, small boutique hotel. It's located right on Rice Park. So when you look out the window, as I'm doing right now, beautiful Rice Park right across the street is all lit up with the beautiful twinkling lights and just gorgeous. And just got a good holiday feel to it. And if I look to my right, I see an old courthouse, the Landmark Center, that used to be an old courthouse built back in the early 1900s. and 1902 to be exact. And then to the left, I looked south, and I looked at the James J. Hill Library, another building built in 1921. I look across the park. Over the trees, I see the Ordway Music Theater, which is a performing arts theater that's now featuring Cinderella. So it's just a charming little square on cobble streets, and the hotel, the way it looks nestled in that park, it's a very European-looking hotel, and it just fits very nicely in this little square here.
So, in other words, when you say European-looking, like what kind of, if you were going to call the decor or something, how would you kind of?
I would say, that's a good question. I guess it's a, it's hard to say, just a early European English-looking type hotel. I mean, there is a lot of brass in stone, but it just, when you walk in, it's got the elegant chandeliers and mahogany woods and marble floor, and it's just a very welcoming sight.
And tell us about like the rooms. How describe like the rooms?
Yeah, we have a total the rooms in the hotel. We have 254 rooms and some suites. We have some larger rooms. We have about 30 suites. But walking into the room, very nice size rooms. We just finished freshening up. Being over 100 years old, we constantly freshen up. We just bought brand new linens and bedspreads and carpeting and new mattresses, and it just very comfortable. Non-contemporary. I mean, you walk in, it feels like you're sitting in your just a very comfortable living room. Comfortable furniture, beautiful linens, and just all the comforts of home.
I didn't get an opportunity. I wanted to ask you. I did have like breakfast.
Sure.
But you have like two things. You have a restaurant and like something like a cafe?
Yes, both very popular. When you enter into the hotel, there's a beautiful winding staircase right to your left. In fact, that staircase in itself gets more photography pictures taken because, of course, every weekend we have a number of weddings, wedding parties in the hotel celebrating their wedding and the receptions that are in our big grand ballroom. But the bride and the groom take many, many pictures on that beautiful winding staircase. As you go to the lower level of the hotel, there you will find the M Street Cafe, and that's open for breakfast and lunch only. And even on Sunday they have a wonderful Sunday brunch. But there you'll find just great breakfast items, a lunch. We call it a sideboard. It's like a lunch buffet with many, many items, both hot and cold, and just kind of a restaurant where it's just a very relaxing. It's got more of a I should say the decor is like a Crate and Barrel feel decor. Again, not dark woods, but very light and bright and fresh and airy. And so it's just a wonderful place for breakfast and lunch. And then in the main area of the hotel, as you walk in, is the St. Paul Grill. And that's been around now for 21 years. The St. Paul Grill, great, one of the finest steak American food restaurants in the Twin Cities. In fact, Zagat just came out with their top restaurants in the Twin Cities, and we are ranked right on the top of all the restaurants in the Twin Cities by this food magazine. But St. Paul Grill, again, steaks, chops, seafood, has been an icon for over 21 years, and just, again, a wonderful service, great food, and that's open for lunch and dinner. And of course, we get very, very busy on nights where we have performances across the street at the Ordway Music Theater or before a Minnesota Wild hockey game. But it's certainly a place that people enjoy.
Would you say that the hotel is like, in terms of location?
Yeah.
Is that like the best location? In other words, if you want to go, to take in the attractions in the
Yes,
area?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, you know, St. Paul is a big city. It's a capital city of Minnesota, located right on the river. Again, the hotel is within a block and a half from the mighty Mississippi River, which is a beautiful sight in itself. But you're right. I mean, not only our location is really ground zero to where you take steps to, like I said, the performing arts or the Minnesota Wild Hockey, which is the XL Center. And when the hockey team's not playing, they've got obviously wonderful concerts. And this is just right across the street from us. And then you've got the River Center Convention Center, which there they have those special events, those public events. You know, we're going to have the sports show coming up, an ice fishing show, and just many conventions there, again, right across the park. And then there's restaurants, you know, all around us here, not only the two fine restaurants that we have here in the hotel, but many fine restaurants just right out our back door. And it's just, like I said, it's just a cozy little area. You can't get more central than this hotel and everything around it.
Now, I guess you've been in the, is it the Landmark Center? Is that what
it's called? Yes, yes. Yes, it's always a joy to go in there.
Have you been, now, when I was there, I was trying to see, there was a museum of musical instruments. Have you ever been in there?
Yep, that's, I believe they called that the Schubert Theater, and they had the musical instruments up there. I don't recall what floor that's on. Absolutely.
I mean, have you been inside of it?
I have. I was in there. It was years ago when I went into that particular portion of the Landmark. But I go into the Landmark almost once a week because they've got a very – I mean, they do functions in there. I mean, they have special events. They've got a cafe in there. They've got meetings that go on in there. And being as a director of sales and marketing here at the hotel, I attend functions at the Landmark. It's definitely a public area where they certainly have a lot of space to perform luncheons and dinners and receptions and things like that. And very, very special building. In fact, they also give tours in that building because being an old federal courthouse building, you know, where they tried John Dillinger and a few other people, famous people, and all the different old courthouses and courtrooms, I should say, in the building, there's a lot of neat stories about the city of St. Paul and some of the bootlegging that went on and gangsters that rolled through the city of St. Paul.
When I was, I didn't see gangsters. I was trying to see them go to the musical instruments, and it was closed, and I went across the way.
Yeah.
To some place that has to do with wood burning.
Within the Landmark Center there?
Yeah, it was right across the way from the musical instrument place.
Oh, interesting. Well, I know that the exhibits, there's exhibits that come in and out of there. Right now, again,
well, I don't think this was a like a store, or not a store.
Oh.
It was like, it's set up like for people, I guess the way, like in terms of like when people go, are part of doing pottery.
Oh,
but
maybe.
Instead of pottery, it's wood.
Sure,
they,
okay.
And
okay.
They have artists there that do that. I guess you'll have to get there. Huh?
Yeah.
You'll have to check it out.
Oh, absolutely.
As I'm sitting here talking to you, I got this little sample. It's a tiny top that I got that's made of wood. And I'm,
oh, very nice.
Yeah. But that was one of the things. Also, what's with the peanuts? With peanuts, Charles Schultz.
Yeah, Charles Schultz from St. Paul himself, St. Paul, Minnesota. In fact, we have those characters throughout the city. Again, right in Rice Park, there's a couple Peanuts characters out there in bronze. In fact, I was just out there a couple weeks ago with my sales manager. I took a picture of her by one of the characters because, believe it or not, they're actually having, in the next couple of years, St. Paul is considered as a convention for like National Association of Cartoonists. And what better place to hold a convention where the great Charles Schultz himself came from, and the Peanuts Gallery and all that goes with it. So we sent our proposal out and wanting to help those folks out with guest rooms, and we sent our proposal out with a picture of the Charles Schultz and all the characters that he had worked with.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it is cool. Very nice.
I was in, Santa Rosa, California.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I went to the Charles Schulz Museum.
Oh, very nice.
So it was interesting coming into St. Paul and seeing Charles Schulz bronzes around.
Yes.
So the claim is, when I got, he was born in St. Paul, and then later on lived in Santa Rosa.
Indeed, yes.
Yeah, so I guess they claimed him out there in terms of to have a museum, and you guys claimed him for some artwork.
There you go.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I guess it's like in terms of architect. I mean, the one thing if you're coming to New York City, you know, when you see the Empire State Building, you know you're in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I think when you see the Saint Paul Cathedral.
Yes.
You know you're in Saint Paul.
Yeah, that's a beautiful cathedral right up on the hill there. Boy, I tell you, we have such a great view just from the hotel here. You go up to our 12th floor, though, we have a beautiful fitness center up there, and it has got the most gorgeous view of that building at night when you're on the treadmill and you're looking at that big, beautiful cathedral. It's just breathtaking. And then you look to your right, and you can see actually the state capitol lit up at night, too. So there's some great views from this area here, right here from the hotel.
In other words, if you're going to go to things like, you want to go to the theater and the thing of when I say the highest quality, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yep.
So that's the area. This is the area to be in.
This is the area because the Ordway Music Theater is world renowned. I mean, you talk anything from the orchestra to performing arts, and right now I don't know if I mentioned it, but Cinderella is going to be opening here in the next couple days for the holidays. But they have major Broadway shows at the Ordway Music Theater, and so there's always something going on there. But you're right, this isn't just a backyard theater. You know, this is big time here, and it really they set themselves apart from many in the Midwest as far as performing arts is concerned.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
What I had looked at is because I've become very curious about when I'm traveling, there are lots of churches and cathedrals, you know, the architect and things like that. And I said, and I went on the internet because I was curious, are there any synagogues?
No, I didn't notice that. I don't know of any either.
No,
yeah.
Actually, this is quite interesting to find out.
Yeah.
It's Mount Zion Hebrew Congregation.
Okay.
It's the first synagogue in Minnesota, even before Minnesota became a state.
Oh, wow.
And the reason that people will not notice it is because you don't have the type of architecture that churches have. You know what I'm saying?
I see. Sure.
So it's not like, wow, what's that? I got to go inside and see the architect, you know? What I'm saying, but once you go in there, because I'll be having executive director coming on to talk about it. But once you go in there and see all the art collection and you know things like that, you'd be surprised. Hey, well, here's another one I guess for you to know about.
Yes, I know absolutely.
Where to send people?
Indeed.
It's on. I guess if you name that, it's a famous. Mount Zion. No, I'm saying the street.
There's
an area. I guess the. I know we travel around there, like where all those beautiful houses are.
Oh, up on Grand Avenue in that area, or Summit Avenue, I should say.
Yeah, that area.
Yes, very nice.
Yeah, that's where it was. But just as an idea, like what does a room go for? So for people to know.
Yeah, that's you know what that is. It depends on when you're coming. You know, we change our rates daily. But you can go. I'll just give you an example. You could spend a room if you're coming in on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. You could spend $209 a midweek if you're a business traveler. On weekends, you know, we can go $159, $169. We've got rates even $129 on some weekends, you know. We have New Year's Eve packages that can be as high as $399 because, you know, we've got wonderful packages that go with our New Year's Eve. For people that want to go out and have a good time and celebrate the new year. And we've got museum packages. So really, when people say rate ranges, you know, I typically say between anywhere from $169 to $209 is a good safe bet as far as rates are concerned.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's, yeah. Okay, that's really great. I guess, what's the website?
The website is St. Paul, okay, and when you go, it's spell out Saint, S-A-I-N-T, Paul, P-A-U-L, hotel.com.
Oh, okay, that's easy enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Brian, I appreciate the you know, you calling in and chatting with us about this, we'll send people out there. When they go.
Well, thank you very much. After I hang up here, I think I'm going to go buy some brownies. That sounded good, that commercial you just did.
You have to go on the website. I have to tell you, and it's, and I've teased people because what I've done, I went to Travel Media Showcase a couple of years ago, and I called up the Fairy Tale Brownies and says, do me a favor, send me a box of brownies, and I'll give you the hotel I'm staying at. And every appointment that I had, I gave each of the tourism people, I gave them a brownie to try.
Oh. Well. Wow. Very nice.
Well, you'll see, really, it's, you judged. I try, like, no one has topped this brownie.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I don't know how you could top it. And here's the killer. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
The killer is now they're taking the brownies and they're making, they're calling, you have like, you take a small brownie and then they're dipping it in chocolate.
Oh, my goodness.
Dark shells and chocolate.
Oh, my goodness.
You can't get better than that if you're a chocoholic and it's, you know, it's all dark chocolate. So it's good for you.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for this opportunity. And I wish you very happy holidays.
Yes, you too.
Thank you very much.
Have a great evening.
Okay, Meryl. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Yes, I love the... Well, okay. I will have... I know I'm gonna wind up having chocolate tonight. I know that. It's time for a song. And I'm going to... Oh, yes, that's right. I had Melissa Manchester on the show. So I would like to play one of her songs. You don't know this one.
Baby cried the day the circus came to town. Cause she didn't want parades just passing by her. She painted on a smile and took up with some clown. While she danced without a net up on the wire. I know a lot about her, cause you see, baby is an awful lot like me. Don't cry out loud, just keep it inside. Learn how to hide your feelings. Fly high and proud, and if you should fall, remember you almost had it. Saw that when they pulled the big top down, they left behind her dreams among the litter. In a different kind of love she thought she found. There was nothing left but sawdust and some glitter. But baby can't be broken, cause you see, she had the finest teacher, that was me. I told her, don't cry out loud, just keep it inside, and learn how to hide your feelings. Fly high and proud, and if you should fall, remember you almost.
If you missed it, I had interviewed Melissa a few weeks ago, so you could always catch this since these shows here are archived. The other day I was thinking of a song, I'm Into Humor, as you guessed, and there was a song many years ago, Linda Lavin sang a song that was written by Stephen Sondheim, and was featured in the show called The Mad Show. And the song is kind of, well, I'll call it a takeoff on the Girl from Ipanema. And it's called A Boy From. I don't have the music, so I'll try singing it to you a cappella, or as I say in Yiddish, a cappella. And it goes... I'm not going to say it goes something like this. I love when singers say that, as if it's like, you know, they're not sure. This way you can flub up and, you know, you say, oh, it's something like that. Okay, anyway, it goes, tall and slender like an Apollo, he goes walking by, and I have to follow him, the boy from Tacarimbala, Tumba del Fuego, Santa Malipa, Zacatecas, La Junta del Soleil Cruz. When we meet, I feel I'm on fire and I'm breathless. Every time I inquire, how are things in Tacarimbala, Tumba del Fuego, Santa Malipa, Zacatecas, La Junta del Soleil Cruz. Why, when I speak, does he vanish? Why is he acting so clownish? I wish I understood Spanish. When I tell him I think he's the end, he giggles a lot with his friend. And tender moves like a dancer, but I never seem to get any answer from the boy from Tacarimbala, Tumba del Fuego, Santa Malipa, Zacatecas, La Junta del Sole Cruz. I got the blues. Why are his trousers vermilion? His trousers are vermilion. Why? Does he claim he's Castilian? He claims he's Castilian. Why Do his friends call him Lillian? And I hear at the end of the week, he's leaving to start a boutique. Though I smile, I'm only pretending, 'cause I know 2 days the last I'll be spending with the boy from Tacarimba, La Tumba, Delfa, Waco, Santa, Malipa, Zacatecas, La Junta, Del Sole Cruz. Tomorrow he sails. He's leaving for Wales to live in Chan Ver Puch Gwyn Gich Gwan Ge Rich Wern Drew Buch Chan Ta Sil Lai Or Gor Gor Goch. Ugh. Yes, that's the boy from. Well, as I'm waiting for my caller to call in, I want you to hear one other song from Melissa Etheridge. Melissa Etheridge. Did I say Melissa Manchester? My goodness. Yes. This is a song that is her latest, because this was in a movie called Dirty Girl. And she co-wrote this with the star Mary Steigenberg, no, something like that. I'm not reading anything. So, but anyway, that's important is the song. And here is that song, Rainbird. Such a nice song. Ah, yes. Well, I don't know whether he forgot or not. Let's see now. I'm going to see if I can find the phone number. I hate when I have to do that, when I have to call people up. Because now I have to go on the internet. Let's see. can't search the phone number. Let's see here. This is interesting. Yeah, let's see. I put this in there. Okay. It's on Summit Avenue. And let's write this down. Let's see if he... Oh, I'm sorry, Merle. I forgot. 651-638-881. Okay. And go dial out here. Okay. Yeah. 6-5-6-9-8-3-8-8-1. Okie doke. And here we go. Western Sids are closed. Because it's now like 5:05 p.m. on their time. Okay, let's see.
Shalom, you've reached Mount Zion Temple. If this is truly an emergency and you must speak to the clergy, press 147 and leave a message. If you'd like to leave a message for any of our staff, please press 1 for clergy, 2 for administration, or 3 for education. Our Friday night Shabbat services will be at 6:30 p.m. on the first Friday of the month, and then at 7:30 p.m. for the remaining Friday evenings during the month. Shabbat morning Torah study will be at 9 a.m.
Okay, that's not going to help to know Shabbat thing.
You have reached the administration directory. Please press 1 for Larry Solomon, our executive director.
Okay,
press 2 for
1.
Hello, you've reached Larry Solomon at Mount Zion Temple, and this is my confidential mailbox. Please leave a detailed message at the tone, and I'll return your call as soon as possible. Thank you for calling.
Oh, hello, Larry. This is Merle Exit calling. I was waiting for you to go on the air, but I guess you're not there. Okay. So just in case you happen to pick this up, you could call 646-478-0077. Thanks. Okay. Well, let's see. You know, I could wait a little while. I like hearing some music. I have to, pretty soon I'll put up some Christmas music. And the, actually the Christmas music I'm going to use, my friend Lily of the Isaacs, which is Bluegrass Gospel. But in the meantime, let's see. Let's hear another Melissa Manchester song.
Best thing you'll ever find.
I totally forgot to ask them to give me the other song, the one from Ice Castles. Ice Castles. Looking Through the Eyes of Love. That's the one. Okay. I forgot to ask them to send that off to me. Looking Through the Eyes of Love. How it feels to touch you. How I've seen so much till I found you. Looking through the eyes of love. Okay, that's the one. And the voice is getting deeper as I get older. But, well, I'm guessing that Larry forgot. So, hey, I'm going to just end this show early. But basically what I, the architecture of the synagogue, it was Eric Mendelssohn, that's M-E-N-D-E-L-S-O-H-N, was the architect of this synagogue that came about, before Minnesota became a state. So it was the first synagogue there, and it's Reform. And I'm not good at explaining what the architect is. It's not an, what I would say, an ornate, you know, they explained it to me in like a, it was hard for me to grasp in terms of relating it to somebody else. But it's a contemporary kind of thing, and worth checking it out. And also, they have a nice art collection. That's also something to see. So it's on Summit Avenue in St. Paul. There was some other things that I did in St. Paul, but I'll get to that like another time. Because I didn't go into that. I'm going to get some of the people who were part of that to be on to come on the air. So anyway, well, until next show, I'm not sure what I'm doing. I think I went to Fairway Market Supermarket. And it's not something all over the place, I guess. I don't know. It must be like maybe East Coast kind of thing. Maybe just New York kind of thing. But anyway, Fairway Market is, and you probably have something equivalent kind of thing. It's a supermarket that has, and I had to say it's like the best of the best kind of thing. I mean, like, what I did today is I visited the butcher, and we had to talk about all the different meats and things like that. I'm going to have him come on. I learned some very interesting things about the quality of meats and, you know, the things we get fooled by, et cetera, that kind of thing. And I'm going to be cooking up some of the meats before the butcher comes on. But I did take some video while he was chatting with me, so I'll get that up on my YouTube and my blog. So until my next show, everybody, have a great day, evening, or wherever you are. And well, I'm not going to wish people a happy holiday yet, because the holidays aren't here. It's beginning to look a lot like cold. That's what I would kind of say more than anything else. And yes. I'm sorry, Esther, I didn't introduce you. Eunice, come here. Okay, fine. You know, that's what happens. My cats are hiding. Okay. Otherwise you would hear them, and one of these days I'll get them to say hello, but that's a little difficult, you know. Well, anyway, as I said, until next time, everybody, have a happy, Yeah.